With great power comes great responsibility.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman!
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Maybe your army comes, and maybe it's too much for us, but it's all on you. Because if we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Wonder Woman!
Journey!
Hello there, I hope you're enjoying the Superhero Marathon. Today I thought I'd talk a little bit more about Superman and Batman, since we've been listening to the Adventures of Superman radio show, and this first time that Batman and Superman got together. I really kind of got a kick out of listening to this series of episodes. It was kind of neat to see the differences in how Superman was portrayed back in these radio shows, and it was kind of neat to see how he interacted with Batman and Robin, and how they tried to keep their identities secret from each other, and so I found that pretty funny. You know, I thought it was interesting too that, you know, Batman was a celebrated crime fighter, and he worked with the police and was trusted, and you know, this is Metropolis we're talking about, not Gotham. Batman's just pretty much known everywhere. You know, maybe at this point, since Batman didn't have his own radio show, they just included Batman to be a superhero for Metropolis. I don't know. They never really talk about that. There are other instances when Batman came back, or series of episodes where Batman takes a prominent role in the Adventures of Superman. Either they're together or they're looking at things separately. And, you know, I might play those in the future. This was kind of fun. Some of those are a little bit longer, so I might have to double up the episodes or something. But if you're interested in hearing more of these and hearing them on like a daily basis rather than having it run a couple times a month, you know, maybe I can play more of these back to back like this. Maybe not a whole month of a marathon, but just running a series of shows together for a week or a couple weeks or something like that. So if you're interested, let me know. We can adapt. We can change how we do things here on the show. I thought it was interesting listening to these radio shows how Superman is really underplayed, at least in this series of shows. You know, Superman wasn't always there to save the day every episode. A lot of it was Clark Kent. A lot of it was him with Lois and Jimmy and Perry White. Even a lot of the investigation was done as Clark Kent rather than Superman. And, you know, it just made me think of how different things were back then. I don't know about the comics, but, you know, at least in this radio show, you know, there was a lot of detective work done by Clark Kent. And I have listened to some more of these radio shows, not a lot of them, but a lot of these shows is about Clark Kent. It's not just about Superman every episode coming to save the day. When he does need to be there and he does need to save the day, yep, he does. And I thought it was kind of funny how I like the voice transition when Superman, you know, I think this is a job for Superman, you know, his voice changes and now he's become Superman. And I thought that was different, you know, how Batman was always Batman. They never talked about him being Bruce Wayne. You know, they talked about Dick Grayson being Robin and all the confusion around that. And I thought that was fun as well. Back then, Superman wasn't as super as he is now in the comics and in the movies. Yes, he could leap tall buildings. Yes, he could run faster than anybody. Yes, he was super strong and could fly and all these things. But he wasn't fighting supervillains. He wasn't going up against other Kryptonians or aliens. He was just going up against bad guys. You know, this Dr. Bly. He's just a con man. In a couple of the episodes that I listened to, you know, there was Kryptonite. And so if a bad guy got a hold of Kryptonite, yeah, he had Superman in a bad spot. And so that was played out. But I guess I'm going to have to do more listening and find out, were there any of these Superman villains that came into it, you know, like Brainiac or where, you know, where's Lex Luthor? I don't know if he's even involved. I'm sure he would be at some point. But I kind of like this more character-focused radio show where it's a lot mostly about Clark Kent and Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen and Perry White. And then when he was needed, Superman would show up and save the day. And so that's kind of neat. But I'd like to talk a little bit more about Superman himself and the character that I've known. I really haven't read very many Superman comic books. You know, I was pretty much started reading comic books with Marvel. I have read some DC comic books. I've read Batman comic books. I've read Camelot 3000. I did collect Justice League for a while. At the time, it was Justice League International. And they had a team in Europe, and they had a team still in the United States. But they were an international organization. And I did kind of get into that a little bit and get to know more of the DC characters. I think I did pick up a couple Teen Titans. But I just really didn't follow the DC universe. I wasn't a DC guy. And I was always kind of intrigued by Superman and Batman and Green Lantern, especially. I always thought the Green Lantern concept was really cool. But of course, you know, growing up in the 70s, I was a huge fan of the 1978 Superman movie with Christopher Reeve. And, you know, that was a huge, huge movie. We watched that. My sister loved that show. I loved that show. I was just totally loved that version of Superman. And to me, Christopher Reeve was Superman. He is Superman. And, of course, then when Superman 2 came out, we, of course, watched Superman 2. I loved that movie even more than the first one. And I guess that, you know, to kind of go over those movies, the things that I loved most about those movies, you know, was Christopher Reeve's performance, Margot Kidder's performance as Lois Lane, Perry White, Lex Luthor, you know, all those things were just iconic to me. And I didn't have the comic books, the background in the comic books to back it up. You know, like now as I'm watching Avengers and I'm watching the Hulk and Spider-Man and all these Fantastic Four and all these things, I have the comic book reference. I've read the comic books. I know these characters. And so when I see them on the movie screen, I have that background. With Superman, that was it. That was my exposure to Superman. Of course, I'd seen, you know, pictures of the black and white George Reeves Superman TV shows. I don't think I have ever watched one. But that 1979 movie and Superman 2, its sequel, those were my only exposure to Superman at that point. And I really enjoyed the humanity that Christopher Reeve brought to Superman. You know, of course, as Clark Kent and being the bumbling newspaper reporter, he really sold that very well. But even as Superman, he was strong and he was bold and he did stand up to everybody and to Lex Luthor and he saved the day. You know, he saved all these people with his amazing powers. But through all that, he had a vulnerability. He had a love and an attachment to the people that he served, to the people that he knew at the Daily Planet. You know, these are people that he loved, that he cared for. And I loved the origin with his parents and the things that they taught him as he was growing up. And no, I have not seen the Man of Steel yet. So I don't have that reference yet to compare with what they've done in the new movie. You know, I've heard a lot of people put the movie down and they didn't like it. And I'm resolving my judgment until I've seen the movie. But, you know, it's really hard for me to see how you could do better than they did back in that 1979 movie. Things might look better. The pacing and the cinematography might be better and more up to date. But I don't know if you can do better than those scenes from the first Superman movie with Christopher Reeve. And, you know, but that vulnerability, you know, when he thinks that Lois Lane is dead before he turns time back, that scene just killed me. Even when I was a little kid, you could just feel his hurt. You could feel his sadness. That affected me more than William Shatner yelling Khan in Star Trek, The Wrath of Khan. I mean, nothing. I mean, when you saw Superman cry, man, I mean, it's affecting me as I'm talking about it. When he, you can feel that pain, and as he takes off and he's flying around the world as fast as he can to turn time backward, and you can see the pain and the anguish, and he is mad and angry, and he is tired of putting up with all this stuff, and he has power, and he's going to use it. He doesn't care what the ramifications might be, and he turns time back, and of course it's ridiculous. Of course, you know, there's no science to back that up, but it was awesome. He turned the world in reverse and turned time back. And that was amazing. I mean, that was awesome. And Superman 2 was also just full of awesome. You know, again, you got to see a lot of his humanity as he, when he gave up his powers because of his love of Lois Lane. And he was vulnerable and he got beat up and bloodied by just a common bully in a diner. And, you know, you could feel that mortal weakness that he had. And then, of course, that lent so much more to the end scene where he tricks Zod and the other Kryptonians, the bad guys, when he reverses that on them, and when they are weak and he defeats them easily. I mean, just that triumph. And you could just see in Christopher Reeve's face how victorious he is and how happy he is and glad that he could once again be somebody that could protect these people on Earth and that they wouldn't be threatened by other Kryptonians. And, you know, that whole idea of the Phantom Zone and of Zod was just really well done. I really liked both of those movies. And of course, there's cheesy moments. And of course, you know, Lois Lane, how can you be so stupid, always getting yourself into these problems? And, you know, Lex Luthor surrounding himself with these idiots, you know, or whatever, that don't understand what he's trying to do. But another part, I mean, when Superman is exposed to the kryptonite and Lex Luthor just throws him in the pool with the kryptonite, you just really feel for Superman. I think, you know, those movies, as dated as they are, as cheesy as some of the scenes are, were just classic. There's no way that you can replace those movies. Now, that being said, you know, I've enjoyed other Superman things. I didn't watch a lot of the TV show, The Adventures of Lois and Clark. I caught bits and pieces of it, and I saw enough of the show to see, you know, what it was all about and to know the characters. But I didn't follow it on a regular basis, and I don't know why. I guess maybe I was just, you know, I was going to college at the time, and I didn't have time for a lot of that. But, you know, it was a good show, and I enjoyed it, but I didn't follow it. I enjoyed a lot of the early seasons of Smallville. I thought that really caught the essence of Clark Kent as a youth and the struggles that he had with his powers, wanting to use them to help people, but not wanting to be discovered. And, you know, the whole thing that they built around Smallville being this alien place where a lot of alien scientists came, and the relationship between Lex Luthor and Clark Kent in Smallville and Lana Lang, and just really, really liked that series, especially in the beginning. I did stop following it when it got into the later years. Again, I'm not sure why I wasn't as interested. As things changed and progressed, and it just became more and more strange that he didn't use his powers more often, or that more people didn't realize what was going on. Maybe I kind of lost some of the magic for me. But I liked Smallville. I thought it was a good idea. And there was a lot of good things that came from that. And I really don't know why I didn't pick up a lot more of the Superman comic books. I think I did pick up a trade paperback that had a lot of the greatest Superman stories ever told. And I read some of the older ones with Bizarro, and it was good. I like to read it, but I never really, thought, oh, I need to start collecting Superman and get into Superman. He was just, I knew the character, and I was okay without reading the comic books. I guess getting back to the movies, I don't know why, but I didn't go see Superman 3 in a movie theater. I think I got it on video. Yeah, I guess I was only 3 years in between Superman 2 and Superman 3. Maybe at that point I was just too much into Star Wars. Maybe I wasn't into Superman anymore. I don't know. But I did see it. I guess I just maybe it wasn't my thing anymore. I didn't see Supergirl and I didn't see Superman 4. I still haven't seen Superman 4. I should probably put that on my list to watch someday. I've seen scenes from it and I've heard how bad it is. But, hey, it wouldn't hurt to watch Superman 4. And so I guess the movies kind of fell off for me, at least the Christopher Reeve movies. But Superman 1 and 2, amazing. Of course, the next movie of Superman was Superman Returns. Now, again, I haven't seen Man of Steel. Maybe you're tired of hearing about it anyway. But I can talk more about Superman Returns. Now, Superman Returns came out in 2006. That's a long time. Superman 4 came out in 1987. And so that's quite a few years in between movies. And it really was a different landscape for movies when Superman Returns came out. I mean, by then, we'd had the Tim Burton Batman. We'd had the Joel Schumacher Batman. We'd had the Spider-Man movies come out. We'd had the two X-Men movies come out. We'd had Daredevil. We'd had Hulk. We'd had really good movies like The Incredibles. And even Batman was starting up again with Batman Begins before we saw Superman Returns. And so, when you think about the time when Superman came out in 1978, where that really was the very first big superhero movie. There had been other superhero movies before that, but nothing on the scale of Superman. And then Superman Returns comes out, and it's kind of surrounded by all of these other superhero movies that have really changed the game. And so people looked at Superman Returns with a little bit more of a critical eye. And of course, as you probably know, the premise of Superman Returns was Superman 3 and Superman 4 didn't happen. And this was kind of a pseudo-sequel of Superman 2. And Superman had been away from Earth for about 5 years. He had went to go see what he could find of Krypton. And by the time he got back, it had been 5 years without Superman on the Earth. And so when he came back, and I think that was kind of a wise choice because it did allow Bryan Singer to kind of, bring this, hey, things have changed, because things had changed in the real world as far as superhero movies were concerned. And so he could kind of infuse that into this movie with, hey, the world has changed while Superman was away. And I guess along with a lot of other people, I wasn't super impressed by Superman Returns when I first watched it. It seemed a lot slower. It seemed a lot more somber than the other Superman movies. And, I enjoyed it and it was a good movie to watch, but I wasn't blown away like I had been with the other Superman movies. But as I've thought about Superman Returns, and as I've watched it again, I really do think it was a great Superman movie. And, a lot of people are saying, oh, so you like the emo Superman. And yes, that's true. He was a different kind of guy. He did think about things. He was a little bit more serious, a little bit more somber. But really, that's probably, a reflection of him growing up a little bit, of him realizing things were different. There's things to complain about. I think the biggest complaint and the biggest thing that they did wrong with Superman Returns is the casting of Lois Lane. A lot of people complain that she was too young to be Lois Lane, especially getting a Pulitzer at such a young age, and that kind of turned a lot of people off. But I guess the part that turned me off was she was nothing like Margot Kidder. She was totally different. She was a different Lois Lane. She was not the same woman that Superman left. I think Brandon Routh did a really good job of trying to capture the charm and the presence of Christopher Reeve. Of course, nobody can replace him as Superman, but I thought Brandon Routh did a respectable job of playing both Clark Kent and Superman, and I could have got used to that guy. And I'm kind of sad that he didn't get his chance to do more with Superman. But with Lois Lane, there was none of the feistiness that the Margot Kidder Lois Lane had. There was none of the ambition, even, that Lois Lane had in the first two movies. And yes, you know, she had a son now, and she had a fiancé, and things were different, and Superman had been gone, and that probably broke her heart. But I would think that she would still have that same robust outlook on life. And she just wasn't that Lois that we knew from the previous movies. And so I think that was probably the biggest disconnect that I had with the movie. Not that Kate Bosworth did a terrible job. You know, she's a good actress. She did well in the role, but it just wasn't the Lois Lane that we knew. And so Lex Luthor, Kevin Spacey, I thought was amazing as Lex Luthor. You know, I would even go so far to say as he was a better Lex Luthor than Gene Hackman, as much as I enjoyed him in the early movies. And I would have loved to seen more of him as Lex Luthor, even though Lex Luthor is an overused adversary. Yes, he is the main bad guy, the main adversary of Superman, but there are others. And I liked James Marsden in there as well, as Lois's fiancé. He wasn't just a one-dimensional character. He really became his own character, and you know, you could see he was jealous and he was concerned about Lois's relationship with Superman, but he had integrity, and he cared enough about her to see everything through and to do the right thing all the time. And I thought he was a neat character. I really didn't have a problem with Superman's son storyline. I think that was an interesting take on Superman and an interesting thing to explore. What if Superman had a son? I thought that was kind of a neat idea, and I think it was worth exploring, and I thought he did it pretty well. And I liked the action scenes. I liked the cinematography of Superman Returns, and I like that he wasn't just a Metropolis Superman. He was a Superman for the world. He went all over the world helping people. He didn't just stay in Metropolis. So I thought Superman Returns, the more I think about it, the more I've seen it, I think Superman Returns was a great movie. A lot better than I gave it credit for on the first go-through. And, you know, my biggest complaints about that movie is the brown cape instead of the red one. And Lois Lane was miscast, totally. And they could have done more to make it more lighthearted and more inspiring like the previous movies. It did suffer from being a little bit too somber. But not as much as everybody complains about. I think people are a little bit too critical of Superman Returns. And that's why I'm not going to say anything about Man of Steel until I see it. And I really did want to see it before I talked about it on this marathon. And I know it's out on DVD, but I don't want to go buy it until I've seen it and whether I really want to buy it or not. And it doesn't come out on Netflix until December. So, sorry, I haven't seen the movie, so I can't talk about it. Well, I was going to talk about both Superman and Batman in this episode, but I've kind of gone on for a while, so I guess I'll come back tomorrow and talk more about Batman. Please be advised that this podcast is produced under Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives license. You can share it, but not change it or sell it.